This is Annie McLaughlin from 3CR.
Oh, hey, how are you?
Good.
And thanks for paying attention to this film.
Yeah. Can I ask you first about your entree into making documentary filmmaking? I mean, you made a big splash when you made Gasland. And my listeners would be quite pleased to know what it was that set this whole trajectory off for you.
Well, first of all, I should just say that, you know, I've been making theater and film since I was a young child. So, you know, Gasland was my first documentary, but it wasn't my first foray into storytelling. It wasn't my first film, you know, I brought, you know, 20 years of experience into making that movie. So even though it seemed like it was sort of, you know, a person who was just a guy living in the woods somewhere, you know, I was already a person who'd made quite a lot of, you know, dramatic work. It was my first documentary because of the situation that a lot of people found themselves in, including a lot of people in Australia, who were being invaded by the oil industry, right? All of a sudden, this technique called fracking, which, you know, we made sure that the world knew all about fracking, was invading people in their backyards and in areas where the oil industry had never come before. And they were trying to push into urban areas, rural areas, suburban areas, wildlife areas, protected areas, every possible place that they thought that they could find fossil fuels, they were trying to push themselves into. And, you know, as it shows in the film, my family's land, the land that I grew up on my whole life, in the Upper Delaware River Basin in Pennsylvania, which is the New York City watershed, which is the water supply for 16 million people. They wanted to come there and despoil this beautiful, pristine wildlife area, this beautiful, pristine forest and river and wetlands, and turn it into an oil and gas zone. And that was quite disturbing to me. So it was also clear to me that this was happening all across America. It was happening all across the world, but that there hadn't been a comparative study of what was happening and that nobody knew really what was going on with the industry. So I set out to find out, you know, what was the truth about fracking. And of course a big part of the story is that they offered my family, you know, a certain amount of money per acre, and that was amounts to something like $100,000 with the promise of a lot more money after that. And so, you know, a lot of people made light of the fact or made a lot out of the fact that we, you know, that there was this big offer, you know, for money. And that was more important to me was to make sure that nature stayed intact and that water was staying intact.
It's a very frightening thing, isn't it, to think that people think that a sum of money of this sort and the interests of fossil fuel is greater than the protection of nature.
Well, I mean, what you just described is basically the entire history of Western civilization. You know, climate change is not caused by oil and gas and coal emissions. Of course it is. But that's just a consequence of the system of Western conquest, Western civilization, and colonialism, right? And what the movie The Edge of Nature is about is essentially that we have, in Western civilization, treated nature and treated the planet as if it was only something for us to own, extract, despoil, and treat as a resource and not treat as the thing that keeps everything on the planet alive, right? So when you do that, you head into a lot of trouble, right? You have problems that we are now seeing worldwide. We're facing calamity because the colonial civilization has been living out of balance. And now you see, like, you know, I'm all day today, I was investigating the floods, you know, in New South Wales. Those floods were caused by a huge amount of rain, which is, you know, from climate change, right? But at the same time, 99% of the forest in this region was cut down, which means you have absolutely no protection against flooding, which is a forest, right? So if we think of nature as simply something to create wealth, Yeah, you can make a lot of money, but we are at the end of that system now, right? If we continue to live like that worldwide, if Western civilization continues to be the model, then we're done for. And that'll be the greatest die-off in the history of the planet. It will be a genocide of epic proportions. And we're in the process of committing that genocide as we continue to walk down that road.
It's quite willful too. I mean, it's you talk about the floods in New South Wales, but even within the system that's been created, people are being having their dream homes, in inverted commas, built on floodplains. And then when there are massive floods, there is no insurance policy that will cover that.
Well, as we're finding out, there really isn't any insurance policy for the planet Earth, right? I mean, insurance is something that protects us inside of a capitalist system where we stretch, you know, to the limits, right? But there is no planet B. There is no way to fix a water supply. There is no way to fix the climate. There is no way to make these things right again without actually doing that. So what's interesting to me and what is the focus of the film, The Edge of Nature, is that during COVID, during the first 10 months, 9 months of COVID, during the lockdown period, was the only time in the history of Western civilization that we've actually reduced emissions and pollution enough to meet the climate goals of the Paris Climate Accords, right? That was the only time in the entire history of this civilization that we've actually reduced emissions. And now we've decided to just forget all of that and run headlong into the opposite direction. In fact, emissions have gone up even faster. So there are lessons within that moment of what we call the anthropause, the time when Western civilization stopped. I mean, I don't think it should be called the anthropause, because certainly Western civilization and industrial civilization shouldn't be the only definition of what is a human, right? There's a lot of humans that don't cause climate change. But the bottom line is that, you know, that system stopped and it gave the earth a breath. And it was a time for many people, you know, to reconnect. It was a time of great grief. We were suffering huge losses. Lots and lots of people were dying. But we were also connecting with the way that the natural systems of the earth work, right? We could see the stars. We could see the blue sky. Natural ecosystems rebounded. And I think that there is a sort of cellular memory of that moment when the earth was allowed to breathe again for a moment. In fact, it's been demonstrated, you know, in Wuhan, China, which in the early stages of the disease, 3,200 people died of COVID. But it was estimated by Stanford University that in the same time period, the downturn in industrial pollution actually saved the lives of 40 to 70,000 people.
Wow.
Which bears the question, you know, what is the real pandemic? Is it COVID or is it the fossil fuels that we love to burn and choke on? And the truth of the matter is, fossil fuels, pollution from fossil fuels kills 10 million people every single year. 10 million people every year die from fossil fuels. That is far more higher than the death toll of COVID, and it's every year, every year. So we're in the midst of a pandemic. The pandemic is fossil fuels.
Well, it leads me to this question that I find really fascinating, which is the human capacity to live in an imagined world. And it sets up a whole set of paradigms which are easily punctured and were punctured in the West by the pandemic. When you made a film like The Edge of Nature, you're looking at a sensory and interactive world of nature that humans in the West generally have forgotten that they are actually a part of.
I think that's a big part of the film, right? Why is this called The Edge of Nature? Well, nature as a concept in the English language, the word nature means everything on the planet, all the systems of plants and animals. And in English, in the dictionary, it says, as opposed to humans. So nature is not just separate from us, but it's opposed to us, right?
Yeah.
So we, in the word nature only exists to separate us from the land. In a lot of other cultures, They don't have this word. They just have the word land, right? So nature is like this opposite, this thing that's outside of us. And because it's outside of us, we don't belong to it. It's almost as if English has made us into aliens, right? That are inhabiting this planet, but aren't a part of it. And that's hugely a folly, right? We are a part of nature. We have to understand that the only way out of this crisis is to become, to integrate with nature and to live in balance with nature. And, you know, that's a primary discovery within the film, you know, because what I do, I'm healing myself from long COVID in the film. And the way I do that is to go into the forest and live in a one-room cabin with no electricity and no cell phone signal for those 9 months. And that's what the course of the film is.
It's a rediscovery of self, isn't it?
Well, it's a rediscovery, not just of self, but of also of the planet, right? Like, yeah. We focus a lot when we talk about healing, we focus on ourselves, right? But we can't heal ourselves without healing the planet, and we can't heal the planet without healing ourselves. Like, it's a ridiculous thought that we would strap on, you know, spandex petroleum-based yoga pants and drive an SUV a half an hour to a strip mall, take a yoga class, drive back home, then wash those yoga pants, which creates microplastics going down into the ocean, and think, oh, well, I'm healing myself. This is ridiculous. We absolutely have to dedicate ourselves to healing the planet, right? The natural ecosystems need to be rebuilt and rewilded. But that's our job, right? That's what humans do, okay? Humans are the species that know how to be gardeners. Humans are the species that know how to manage an ecosystem that can grow biodiversity, that can spot an invasive species from a native one. Human beings have that knowledge. No other animal on this planet knows how to do that, right? That's our job. Our job is to take care of nature. Nature doesn't work well without us. It gets overgrown. Things go wrong. You know, so we have to understand that if we're going to heal ourselves, you got to go out there and replant the forest. You don't separate yourself in the process and say, well, I'll meditate and I'll do all of this sort of things to heal myself. Okay, well, that's part of it. But the best meditation is when you're replanting the forest. The best healing is when you're reestablishing the ecosystems of the planet.
So you're in Australia at the moment, and we're lucky enough to have you come to the Nova on Wednesday, the 1st of November. And you're going to be there for the screening.
Absolutely. I'm very excited. You know, I love coming to Australia. Gasland was a big hit here. We toured all over the place. It really helped to push along the Lock the Gate campaign, the anti-fracking campaigns. And I feel very proud of my relationship with the extraordinary activists that are here. And, you know, the last three films that I've made were big in the United States, but somehow didn't get themselves down here quite as vividly. So I'm really hoping that this film, The Edge of Nature, gets picked up in Australia and a lot of people can see it, because I do think that it really is resonant here as well.
Thank you very much for talking to me, and hopefully I'll see you on that Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, please say hello. I'll be there November 1st. Can't wait.